This morning, we're going to continue our study in the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. I understand it's kind of lengthy, but I've come to discover God's Word says so much more than I do. And I want you to get the full story as we look at recognizing God, the glory has departed. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 1. The word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to the battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. The Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes in among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp. All Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does this sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" And they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong, conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell of the Israelites 30,000 foot soldiers. Also the Ark of God was captured. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Now when he came, there was Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the Ark of God. When the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the cry, he said, "What does the sound of this turmoil mean?" And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. The man said to Eli, "I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line." And he said, "What happened, my son?" The messenger answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people. Also your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God has been captured." Then it happened, when he made mention of the Ark of God, that Eli fell off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you. Oh Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Now, Lord, I pray that you take your word, reveal to us the lessons that you've prepared, the understanding that we need to have, that we may be servants of you. Glorify your name in this service. Reveal your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This study is about recognizing God. Do you think you can recognize God? Do you? Come on. Yes? No? Well, I believe you can. I believe you can recognize when God's in something, when God's leading you, when He's directing you. I believe that with all my heart. But there's also something else we need to understand about recognizing God. We need to recognize when God's not in it. When God's not there. And that's the case with Israel today. As we begin with the Ark of the Covenant. And in starting, I want to look at their attitude. Their attitude of we are Israel. This was a general attitude that was just among the people during that age. And we find Israel doing battle with the Philistines. And in the first of this chapter, in that battle, it says they lost 4,000 men. And this was devastating. And what made this so devastating is they were Israel. God's chosen people. This does not happen to God's people. Or so they thought. And they back up just very puzzled. They can't believe God would allow such things happen to the nation of Israel. Because they were Israel. Isn't that kind of our attitude sometimes? I mean, we're God's people. And because we're God's people, we think we can't lose. Everything's always supposed to go right. And there's never a time when we're going to be overcame by the circumstances of life, which is a lie. Okay? Sometimes life gets tough. Sometimes life gets very hectic. So don't be caught off guard when we face a battle and lose the battle. As children of God, we'll win the war. Okay? But I want you to notice, in the loss of 4,000 men, they back up and they investigate, why would this happen to us? We're Israel. Why has God smitten us today? You see, they understood that if God was in it, victory was certain. But they also understood that if God was not with them, defeat was inevitable. So they've got to figure this thing out. We lost 4,000 men. Something's got to be done. And some of the elders came up with a grand idea. Oh, I know. Send for the ark. The ark of the covenant of God. We will go get that ark and we will bring that ark into camp and God will be with us. And those poor Philistines won't have a chance. All we've got to do is get God on our side. We'll have Him on our side when we bring His ark into the camp. You know what the problem with that was? It's called manipulation. And God will not be manipulated. Okay? They were going to bring the ark and that ark was going to bring them victory. They're trying to get God to do what they want Him to do. For their benefit. See, that's what manipulation is, right? I mean, don't we do that? Don't we manipulate people? Wives? Do you just a little bit manipulate your husband? To get him to do what you want him to do? And let's face it, wives, it works, right? Children, don't you manipulate your parents? How many times has your child not told a lie, but they've not told the whole truth? Kids come home from school, I got in trouble today. Well, what'd you get in trouble? Well, it wasn't my fault, and they build a big case, and then moms and dads run up to school. What are you doing with my child and abusing my child? And they say, well, here's the whole story. And the parents left it. Really? Manipulate mom and dad. I mean, it works with grandparents too, doesn't it? It doesn't take much manipulation for a grandparent. I'll just be honest. I hear, Pops, can we? And I'm, yes, we're all in. We're going for it, you know. But the issue here was, all they wanted God for was to defeat the enemy. That's it. Nothing more. I mean, God, come and let's just whip these Philistines and be done with it. We'll get back to life as normal. It's kind of a reflection of where they were at this time. As a matter of fact, I refer you back to our study from last week as we examined their spiritual condition. How the priests were corrupt. And how they were taking advantage and stealing from the temple of God, and how the people had come to abhor the offerings that were given to God. Everybody just had a sour attitude about God and about worship. Eli himself had been warned. God warned him. He said, "This has got to stop. You're honoring your sons more than me. It's your job to fix it." And Eli didn't do anything. And so in Samuel's dream that we studied last time, God had prophesied or shared with Samuel that Eli was going to be killed and his sons destroyed and his house destroyed forever. And you know what Eli said? Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Isn't something missing there? Repentance? I don't know. Let's fix what's broken. And Eli, the priest, you know what? Something I never noticed before this in the text. But Eli, when it says that he fell back and broke his neck, did you ever notice? It says Eli was sitting in the chair and he fell back and broke his neck because he was old and what? And heavy. He was a fat old man. And he got fat by stealing from the offerings of God. I mean, he was just in neutral. And he done absolutely nothing to bring Israel back on track. And we see a result of that in this chapter, chapter 4. As they send to the ark of God, and surely as the ark of God comes into camp, we'll have the victory then. Let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to manipulate God? I mean, think about it. There's something you want so badly. Lord, if you'll just give me this, I'll do whatever you ask. My question is this. Why aren't you doing whatever He asked beforehand? You see, if you were doing what He asked beforehand, you wouldn't have to say, "I'll do whatever you ask." But you're manipulating God. Or attempting to manipulate God. When there's trouble in life, how often do we see lives that are struck with trouble and all of a sudden church becomes really important? And don't get me wrong, if you're in trouble, you need to be in church. But my point is this. So often you see tragedy or a hard time strike and that family run to church just as fast as they can until the trouble's over and they cry out to God, "Oh Lord, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me." And then when they're delivered, church is no longer important. God's no longer important. You know what I'm talking about? You see it quite regular. Quite often. Financial hardship. Have you ever seen people try to give their way out of financial hardship? I'm not paying my bills, so I'm going to start tithing. Well, let me say, you should have been tithing before you couldn't pay your bills. Had you been tithing before you couldn't pay your bills, you'd be able to pay your bills. I believe that. Okay? You know, we kind of use God as a bail-me-out kind of God. We don't really want Him in control of life. We just want God to do what we want Him to do. Here's the advice, and the first thing I want you to get, okay? Make sure that you are on God's side before the battle begins. And do not waste your time trying to get God on your side after the battle begins. Because you've waited too long. And that's the case with Israel. Oh, that, you know, God, help us. Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant in. surely God will give us the victory. I always find it interesting how that when we do get in trouble, boy, we really get serious with God, don't we? Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. Then we'll implement our prayer time and our study time daily. I find it interesting that, have you ever seen somebody claim the promises of God? Kind of a claim it mentality. People get in trouble and, my God will never leave me nor forsake me. Well, you're right. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But don't use God. God is not the drive-through window at Burger King. Okay? He's not the God that you order from because you have a need. He's the God that you walk with every day. And I think that's the part that people miss. Okay? Here as we look at the Ark of the Covenant, Israel had something that represented God, and so they're going to go get it and they proudly bring it into camp and everything's supposed to be all right. No, sir. No. You see, you've got to consider the covenant of the Ark, and that's what they were missing. They had the Ark of the Covenant, but they were missing the covenant of the Ark. Can you imagine? They've come up with this brilliant idea. Let's get the Ark. That's brilliant. Let's go get it. And they go back to Shiloh and they bring it. And here's Hophni and Phinehas, those corrupt priests, bringing that thing in. And they're walking all proudly. And the children of Israel see it coming into their camp. And when they see it, they cry out, yay! Victory is ours. You boys over there in the Philistines are going to get it now. You just wait. We brought our God into camp. And they shouted so loud, it said the earth shook. And as the earth shook, you know, it notified the Philistines and they got scared. Oh, it scared them. They cried out, woe to us. This is the God that brought the plagues from Egypt. We're in trouble now. We've never seen gods like these. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to get tough. We're going to cowboy up, as the old saying goes. The Philistines said, be men, fight like men, so that we not become slaves of the Hebrews like they've been to us. And it's so funny, you know, momentum has shifted. And Israel's now excited. The Philistines are very low. But it's going to end with the same result. Yes, they brought that Ark of the Covenant in and they go to war thinking, oh, we've got it now. But Israel was defeated again. As a matter of fact, this time it made the other battle pale in comparison to the losses. The other battle was 4,000 men died. This battle's 30,000 men died. Were slaughtered. And those old rascals, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed. And the Ark was captured. So as one soldier fled from the battle line and he runs back to Shiloh to tell the Israelites what happened. And he tells them that Israel has fled before the enemy. There's been a great slaughter. 30,000 have died. And Hophni and Phinehas, the priest, were killed. So Eli hears of the uproar in town and says, what's going on? I know something's going on. And he was worried about the Ark of the Covenant. So this messenger come to him. And Eli says, what's going on? What's happening? And he says, I ran from the battle line. I've been there. I've seen it. Israel has been defeated. 30,000 have died. Your sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. They took our Ark. We have experienced utter defeat. And oh, Eli the priest, he falls backward, breaks his neck. And nothing had changed. I wonder why nothing changed. They had the Ark of God. We see the reason nothing changed. It wasn't what was on the outside of the Ark. It wasn't the Ark of the Covenant that mattered. It was the covenant of the Ark that mattered. It was what was on the inside that Israel never bothered to deal with. You see, they never stopped to consider what that ark, what that box, that chest represented. And the way they handled it, to be quite honest with you, all Israel had was just a really pretty gold box. That's it. Because you see, on the inside, there were three things. There was Aaron's rod that budded. There was manna from the 40 years in the wilderness. There was a pot of manna. But the most important thing were tablets. There were two tablets in there, and on those tablets were written by the finger of God the Ten Commandments. And you know what was on the top of that list of those commandments? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These were a people that never even started down that covenant. You see, there are so many people who are... Well, there are a lot of people who are misled today. You know, they've got the outside down. Oh, they go to church, and it's a good show. They put their names on church rolls. They follow the Lord in baptism, and they paint a good picture. They've got all these religious symbols. They never really look on the inside. I want to tell you something. You can have your name on the church roll and still go to hell. You can be baptized and still go to hell. You can be a good person, as good as you can be, and still go to hell. Because you see, you've got to get on the inside. You've got to get to the part that really matters. And the part that really matters is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that starts with you dealing with sin. For see, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I want you to stop and I want you to get with me on this for just a moment. And I want you to realize you are a sinner. Brother Doug, I'm as good as anybody else. Didn't say you weren't. You're still a sinner. You have sinned, which means you have been contrary to the God of this universe, the Creator, your Creator. You have done things that is contrary to the will of God. So can we all agree we're sinners? Amen. You, me, the whole bunch. Everybody under the balcony, the floor, we're all sinners. We all have a sin problem. We all have a bigger problem, maybe even a bigger problem than our sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you this, okay? Because you have sinned, you will die. And when you die, you'll die one of two ways. You will die without God, or you will die with God. You'll go into the presence of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or you'll face an eternity of destruction in hell. The Bible puts it this way, where the fire's not quenched. Listen. All the religion in the world will do you no good until you get down to the brass tacks. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? You are a sinner. Because you're a sinner, you're going to die. But Romans 5:8 gives us the good news. You got to have the bad news before you get the good news. You know that? Okay? You got to deal with the bad news. The bad news is you've sinned and you're going to die. The good news is, Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's the part I want you to get. Yes, the outlook's not good because of our sin, but the outlook changes when Jesus enters the equation. God showed His love for you. That's what Jesus was about. See, a lot of people don't get that part. They just say, hey, okay, Jesus, He died on the cross, blah, blah, blah. No, stop. Consider. You are in trouble. You're going to die. Had Jesus not done anything, you would be sentenced to hell for all eternity. But God proved to you He loved you in spite of your sin. And He gave His Son so that you could have eternal life. What did Jesus do? He went to Calvary. Oh, He wore that crown of thorns. They spit upon Him. They whipped Him. They nailed Him to that cross, all as punishment for your sins. And God said, I love you that much, I'm going to let my Son die for your sin. As payment for your sin. So that, here's the deal. Romans 10:9. If you hadn't got this, you hadn't got anything. Okay? That if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Stop right there. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, is your Lord. You will confess Him to be the Lord of your life. And you got to get that, okay? It's more than just Jesus is Lord. No, it's making Him your Lord. Okay? It's when you're not bringing Jesus on your side, you're moving to Jesus' side. That's the point of this whole message. All right? It's not getting God on your side, it's getting you on God's side. And it starts with salvation. Salvation is that point in life where you confess and call upon Jesus Christ, making Him the Lord of your life. What does that sound like? Well, I'll give you an example, but it's in the repeat after me prayer. But you just confess, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know You died for my sin. I know You rose from the grave. And I know You're seated at the right hand of the Father. And I ask You today to save me. You can say that prayer right now, right where you sit. And Jesus will save you. He will. How do I know? Because Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Let me ask you a question. Is that a fairy tale or is that a real thing to you? So often we live in this fairy tale world, yeah, 2,000 years ago, Jesus, blah, blah, blah. No, Jesus was and is real. It's not just a really good bedtime story for our kids. It is a life-changing event in history that really happened. And it happened for you. That if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, that's getting to the inside. That's getting where it matters. I want to close with this. It's the rest of this chapter. I'm not going to read it. I'll let you read it. But Eli's dead. Hophni and Phinehas are dead. They've lost the Ark of the Covenant. Everything's gone. They go and they tell Phinehas' wife, who was expecting a baby. And she's expecting this son. And when she hears the news that her husband's dead, her father-in-law's dead, her brother-in-law's dead, they've lost the ark. When she hears this news, she goes into labor. It's such a shock to her. And as she's in labor, it's a hard labor. To the point that she's about to die. And she has a son. She has a son. And the maid there told her, you have a son. It's going to be all right. And it's like she didn't even care. But before she died, she named the boy You know what she named him? Ichabod. That just sounds like a name, doesn't it? Nobody ever names their children Ichabod. I wonder why. I don't know. I wouldn't either. I'm just saying. You know what it means? No glory. No honor. The glory is gone. You see, here was a people that lost everything because they did not look inside. You're going to come to a point. You may be living high and mighty right now, but I want to tell you, you're going to come to a point in this life when you die. And you're going to have to, at that point, spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And I promise you this, there's no glory in hell. There's none. Are you a child of God? Number one. If not, God's here. God's here. And He's waiting for your prayer. You can fix it right here, right now. Number two, if you are a child of God, are you taking care of the really important stuff or just going through the motions? See, it's easy for us church people to go through those church motions, come to Sunday school, come to church, and all the while there's an emptiness inside that only God can fill that we just don't seem to make time for. Today's the day for rededication. It's one thing I know. The most important thing in your life and in mine is Jesus Christ. What's your relationship with Him? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the day. Oh Lord, we look at this and I'm just reminded, Lord. Oftentimes I get caught up in the wrong things. Instead of focusing upon the right things. So first today I pray for those who have never come to You for salvation. I pray that today is the day that they can mark it. Today's the day that they gave their life to Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, for those of us who are saved, maybe get off track on occasion. Lord, we want to come back to You. And we want to really treasure, Lord, the important things in this life. Not go through motions, not put up big facades for others to see, but Lord, we really want that close and that loving relationship with You. We know You're here. I ask You to move among us in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray.